Hello, you are tuned into another episode of Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. I'm your host, Tony Doman, and here on the program each and every week, I find and feature themes relating to Appalachian culture and then play songs and feature stories all about our topic of choice. Well, today I'll be talking about the upcoming Young Appalachian Story Summit happening over at the International Storytelling Center. It's coming up on September 12th. The summit is a young adult-led event that focuses on a critical issue: how young adults can use storytelling as a leadership tool to create Appalachia's future. Today I'll be talking with Stella Childress and Linnea Salinas from the International Storytelling Center to learn more about this event. So please stick around and stay tuned with me here this hour on Mountain Song and Story. First up, as always, we got some music to kick things off. Here now is Amethyst Kia with Firewater.
Lesson too late for the learning, made of sand, made of sand. In the wink of an eye, my soul is turning in your hand, in your hand. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. You've got reasons aplenty for going. This I know, this I know. For the weeds have been steadily growing. Please don't go, please don't go. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. As I lie in my bed in the morning, without you, without you, each song in my breast dies a burning, without you, without you. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. That was the last thing.
Tom Paxton with Lesson Too Late for the Learning. Before that, we heard local Amethyst Kia Firewater from her album Weary and Strange. So we are talking to the folks over at the International Storytelling Center here on today's program. We're talking all about the upcoming Young Appalachian Story Summit, and joining me here now is going to be two folks who are part of putting the summit together here to talk to me about what to expect. So we're going to take a listen to our conversation and learn more about the Young Appalachian Story Summit. Okay, so joining me now is Stella Childress and Linnea Salinas. Both are from the International Storytelling Center, and they are here to talk about the upcoming Young Appalachian Story Summit that is coming up, scheduled for September 12th. The Young Appalachian Storytelling Summit, is a young adult-led event that focuses on critical issue, how young adults can use storytelling as a leadership tool to create Appalachia's future. So, thank you both so much for joining me here on today's program.
First off, this is an incredible opportunity for young people here in Appalachia. So let's start by just talking in detail about what the summit is all about, who can attend, and what can participants expect from attending.
Yeah, so the goal of the Young Appalachian Story Summit is for young Appalachians ages 18 to 25-ish to come together and to talk about the issues that matter to them, to dive into the projects that they're working on, things that they might be doing at work or in school, and learning more deeply about how they can use their voice and tell their story in Appalachia to create a great Appalachian future for them and for their communities. So the 2021 Young Appalachian Story Summit, the theme is Crossroads. So we're really looking at where their voice intersects with their community, as well as their intersecting identities. And we're focusing on civic engagement and professional development.
Yeah, wonderful. And what was the theme? So this is the third, is this the third year or the second year you all have done this? And what was the themes, if themes in the past?
Yeah, so this is the third summit. There was one that was done in 2018 and one that was done in 2019. And Linnea, if you want to jump in, I don't know if there were themes for those summits.
Those summits didn't have particular themes in the same way that the summit does, but all of them still had the same focus about, building up the young Appalachian voice, you know, and amplifying particularly historically marginalized voices within young Appalachia, whatever populations those fall into. But each summit, of course, has been very unique in the people that it brings in as far as keynote speakers and panelists and workshop leaders, but also the audience members that it brings in. Some of our attendees have been able to come several times, because they fall into that age group. But we get new people every year as well. So it's always a different and new experience. 2020, of course, saw everything on hold. So that's why the 1 year gap. So we're hoping for a big turnout this year for the third year.
So how many participants usually are permitted? I know, especially with COVID, as you just mentioned, things are kind of different than in the past, but this is an in-person event. How many participants have you had in the past, and how many are you expecting coming up next month?
Yeah. The past years, there have been between about 35 and 50, and that's really where the cap is because of how the event runs. I think we've got the cap officially set at 60 for this summit, and that's mostly so we don't end up with, workshops of, 60 people in a single workshop, so we can spread out and really have a good intimate experience, but also something that is very fulfilling. We are keeping an eye on all of the COVID numbers, though. I mean, that's just the reality that we live in. So while we are still planning to have an in-person event, it is going to be small. It is going to be indoors, but everything's very well ventilated. The smaller numbers will also help us keep, we'll be able to socially distance inside, that sort of thing. So I would just, as we move forward, as we get closer to the date for people that are interested, I would just encourage them to keep an eye on our website and our social media regarding any kind of additional protocols that we have in place. We already, of course, we keep up with, the cleaning of our spaces and our surfaces. We encourage people to wear masks indoors when they're here. All of those sorts of precautions, of course, are in place. And if we make additional precautions, we'll put those online. But in general, about 50 to 60 people is a really good crowd because it allows you to have, the way the workshops are set up, it allows you to have about 20 people per workshop. which is enough that you can have a really great conversation, but you don't get completely lost in the crowd.
Yeah. And that's a big number as far as the interest, you know, that's fantastic because I really wasn't sure myself how many people. I was kind of imagining just a smaller crowd as in the past work or summits that you've had, but 60 is incredible. It's great that there's so much interest out there for it. This is a grant-funded event, meaning participants can attend this year for free. So how did this come to be? Can you talk a little bit about the grant that you all received in order to be able to do this?
Yeah, a little bit. Actually, the original grant precedes both Stella and myself, actually, here. So from what I know of the original one, I do know that it is a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities that specifically focuses, I believe, on like conversations and bringing people together to, you know, to have discussions about place and to help with like creative placemaking and that sort of thing. I can get you some more information on that specifically, but the grant was originally just for 3 years. They gave us an extension because of COVID. So we've got through this year, but we are seeking more grant funding, hopefully to keep this going in future years.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I love that it's accessible and offered to people for free. That's an amazing thing that you all are able to do. And just a minute ago, you all mentioned workshops. So what are some of the activities that participants will be able to expect when coming to this summit? Workshops, networking, story circles, and panel discussions. Yeah, just talk a little bit about some of the activities.
Yeah, so the way that the day is set up is we come and we gather, and then there's one set of workshops, so we'll have three options for participants to choose, and then a little bit of a break, and then another set of workshops. So they get to choose out of three options, but get two different experiences. And so our first set of workshops, we have it themed around kind of pinning down their story, pinning down something about themselves. So we have Finding Your Flavor with Jose Castillo, and then we have Finding Your Story with Kiran Singh Sarah, the president of the International Storytelling Center. And then we have Finding Your Hustle with Caitlin Yarborough, who is the innkeeper at Eureka Inn in downtown Jonesboro. And then the second set of workshops is all about your voice, so kind of taking it to the next level. So we have one, Your Voice, an Online Presence with Valentina Escobar Gonzalez, focused around social media and how you can kind of craft your story and push your message out that way. And then we have Your Voice in Civic Engagement with Commissioner Jenny Brock from Johnson City. And then we have Your Voice and what's that third one? Oh, Your Voice and the Fuller Narrative. So kind of diving into racial justice, yeah, with Dr. Alcine Turley, who helped with the Freedom Stories Initiative at the Storytelling Center. So great workshops. And then we have an opportunity later in the day where participants can submit questions to ask our panelists anything that's on their mind, anything if they're in the workshop and they want to dive a little deeper. And then story circles will have a great opportunity to kind of split up into smaller groups and for participants to share their story, maybe something that they're working on, and just kind of go deeper and create that space for conversation to happen.
Yeah. And so participants are really encouraged to collaborate beyond the event. How can they do this? And what's kind of the outcome of attending? So, you know, you're in this gathering place and you're communicating and collaborating during this day. And I always love to talk with people here on this program about people who are committed to making positive change here in the region. And this seems like an amazing opportunity to just get excited and get motivated about some of those things and just really become involved and aware of Appalachian issues. What are some of the outcomes for participants of the summit?
So the idea is that they would really be able to leave with some tools on their tool belt. So whether that's a social media plan that they can follow through on, or if it's honing in their story and how they want to tell it in their community or within their workplace, or learning some key areas where they can dive in and get involved in their community through different civic engagement opportunities. And we are really focusing on networking, so making those connections so that they can stay in contact with each other in the future and continue on the conversations that they start at the Story Summit. So yeah, the outcome's really just leaving with more options, more tools that they can use in their own work, but also those deeper connections with other young Appalachians from across the region.
Yeah, and it seems like people can attend the summit and kind of have their own projects. You kind of mentioned that a moment ago. Bigger question of whenever you're a participant coming to the summit, and it seems like you kind of both mentioned that you can kind of bring your own projects that you're working on with you to the summit. And then through these activities that you all have planned, you can kind of hone and develop that project with the set of tools that you're learning. I was kind of asking, what if you're just an attendee that doesn't necessarily have like a project you're working on, and what might those folks get out of coming and doing these activities? If you don't necessarily have like a tangible thing you're working on, you just kind of, it seems like you could go and just network and be in the experience of the environment that you all have created for the summit. But what are your kind of thoughts on that point?
Yeah. I think the biggest idea is to be able for people to come together and really get that networking piece like that Stella spoke about earlier, because it's one thing if you come and you have a project you're already working on, or even if you just have an idea for a project or a cause or something that is near and dear to your heart that you really are passionate about and you want to be able to move forward, there's this place. But even if you don't have that, if you are in that transitional space of life, you know, where you're going, I don't know, you know, like, I don't even know what I want for breakfast, let alone what I want to do, you know, like with my life, or, you know, 5 years from now, or, you know, 5 minutes from now. You know, I think even for people who are there, this is still an excellent opportunity to come and just gather ideas, to get with people that, you know, might be a little bit like, you know, one or two steps ahead of where you are, to be able to say, oh, that I can really identify with what's going on over there, or that's a project I can really sink my teeth into, that's a cause that I also care deeply about, you know, I didn't even know that someone was doing something like that, let me connect with that person, let me see what they're doing, let me get involved with this project and hopefully move that forward. So that's also very much a part of what the summit is. And we do use the term professional development in the descriptions, but we want to be very intentional about the fact that that doesn't mean that you have to be a professional. You know, it's, you can be a professional college student, you know, you can be a professional skateboarder, you can be, you know, whatever. You don't even technically have to be a professional, you know, that just means that you get paid for whatever it is that you're doing. So even if you consider yourself, you know, an amateur underwater basket weaver, that's fine, you know, come, because it's really about also honing those skills, like, you know, the networking and how to talk to one another, how to share ideas, you know, that's really important regardless of what field you're in, you know, regardless of your age, regardless of your, you know, rank in a company, I guess, you know, it's all like basic life skills, for especially here in the Appalachian region, where, you know, I think so often, you know, it's very stigmatized, and still very much considered backwards, or, you know, it's like, this is not all hillbilly elegy, you know, that's not the real life existence. And so for people to be able to say, you know, no, I am young, I am Appalachian, you know, and I am also, you know, underwater basket weaver, or I am also involved in, you know, I'm very outspoken in racial justice. I am, you know, a member of the local, you know, junior league, or, you know, Rotary International, or, you know, these very prominent things, or just, you know, I have a great idea and I want help moving that forward. All of that exists in Appalachia as well, which is also why we were really intentional on this crossroads theme, because it's less about the crossroads of our own individual identities and more about where all of those identities meet with the larger community.
Yeah, I love all of those points. And the theme of crossroads is fantastic, especially whenever you touched on that point about being a professional, because you can be doing amazing, incredible things here in this region and not necessarily have that professional label. So I really value that it's very accessible and inclusive to everyone on all levels. The summit is so incredible work what you all are doing there. I'm so thrilled that this exists. I've actually been trying to go for a few years, but it just never works out with my schedule. And then this year, September 12th is on Rhythm and Roots. So we'll be over here. We're planning the festival. And so I won't be able to go, but I definitely had to come and talk to you, the both of you, to learn more about it and to let other people know more about it. So if you can't attend the upcoming summit, what are some ways beyond the summit to get involved in storytelling? I know that the International Storytelling Center does so many activities and programs throughout the year. A lot of things, like everyone has had to adapt to this virtual space we're living in because of COVID still. So what are some other ways that people, if they can't attend or if they're just interested in learning more about how to develop the art of developed their storytelling tool belt, what can they do to get involved?
Well, the easiest way right off the bat is just, I would say, sign up for our newsletter. We don't spam you ridiculously. But it does have, you know, the information that we send out is all of that sort of thing. You know, we have information about, you know, concerts that we do and events that we run and, you know, workshops outside of the Appalachian Story Summit. So that's the easiest way just to stay in touch with what we do. Also, we do have our National Storytelling Festival coming up. We just announced yesterday that we had to make the decision to go all virtual again this year after spending several very happy months planning an in-person festival. But it is really the safest and wisest choice for us. There were just too many factors at play with that we couldn't control. But the good thing about having a virtual festival is that you can attend from wherever you are. So, you know, even if you're outside the Appalachian region, or if you're traveling, if you're in school, you know, wherever you are, you can still connect with that. And on top of all of the, you know, concerts and performances that are involved with that, there are also workshops that we have during the pre-festival time in the days leading up to the festival, and we'll still have those that will be online. So that's another way that you can connect with it. And then I would say also to keep an eye on our programs. If, you know, we have educational programs for children that run year round. For young adults, we often have regional programs that we're doing. In November, we have a program called Storytelling for All, I Have a Story, that is focused just in Washington County in Tennessee. So if there are people in the listening world that are in Washington County, they can look up information on that program. Our Freedom Stories program, which is actually wrapping up officially at the end of this year, has an online toolkit, which is full of information and resources about how to use storytelling to foster safe spaces to have complex conversations, particularly around topics like race and ethnicity and race relations in the South. but also, you know, worldwide, really. And that has PowerPoints and curriculum guides and, you know, infographics and an interactive multimedia story map that all lives on our website. And all of that is accessible for free there. So there are several ways, really, to keep in touch, to keep story going, and, you know, to be a part of what ISC does.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. And I do have a question about your own experiences at the Storytelling Center. We probably should have started off with this, but we dived right in. What are some of the things that the both of you do at the Storytelling Center? How did you get involved? And what are your roles at the upcoming Storytelling Summit?
So I actually got involved via ETSU. ETSU has a graduate program in storytelling and communication. And so I got wind of the International Storytelling Center has an internship for summer programming. And so I applied and have had the great honor to work with Linnea this summer. Earlier in the summer, we did a program called The Shiro's Journey, which is an opportunity for girls ages 10 to 13 to come. And it's a week-long day camp where they take a folk tale, a familiar story, and they change it throughout the week and explore different ways of storytelling. So that's sort of how I got plugged in and how I'm in this position now. But it's been great. And I would say just being introduced to the world of story and the power that story holds to help us listen to each other and to kind of break down complex ideas in the world has been great.
I have been a long time participant with the festival, mostly. My family has been coming for decades to the Storytelling Festival. So I have long known about the Storytelling Center and what it does. But a few years ago, I was at a point in my life where I was looking for some sort of career change. And on a whim, I sent a cold letter to a friend of mine who worked here at the time. And you know, I was able to get an interview for a position that they had open, and it worked. And so it was sort of intentionally accidental, I guess, somehow you could say. But while my official title is assistant to the president, and I do work very closely with Kieran on a lot of projects that he has going on, and you know, I help him think strategically about a lot of things for the center, I also have a background in education. I have a master's in teaching from ETSU and spent several years in public education. And so it was just a natural fit for me to take more of a lead on the education programs and really help with those and assist in a much more tangible way, which is how I got involved with like Shiro's Journey and the Story Summit. But then part of it was just necessity. I accidentally became the technical coordinator for our Freedom Stories program when the pandemic forced it to go online. And it was all of a sudden we have to figure out how to do this thing with live streaming. So somebody needs to figure that out, you know? And so I was able to do that. So part of it's been intentional, part of it's just been, you know, because of circumstance, but there's never a dull moment, that's for sure. And, you know, it's definitely something that I feel very, very passionate about. And I love especially the educational aspects of everything that we do here at the center, because, you know, because we are a nonprofit arts and culture institution, you know, we're really able to take a more holistic approach than what you might be able to find like in a traditional formal education setting, which is what mm-hmm. I was used to. And so we're really able to, you know, tackle some deep questions and kind of push the envelope on things, which I think is really important. And I think that children and youth and young adults and everyone everyone, really. I think we need that. And, you know, that's something that we want. You know, we crave those deep conversations. We crave that connection with other people. We want to be able to think more deeply and more holistically about our lives, and story helps us do that.
Yeah. Oh, so well put. So well put. And I've got to share with you as well. I also sent a cold email to get my job and it worked out. So bothering people can all help sometimes whenever you're trying to find employment. Well, we are about out of time. Thank you again so much for joining me and speaking with you both about the upcoming Young Appalachian Story Summit over at the International Storytelling Center. So one last thing, where can folks go to learn more information about what you all are doing, more information about how they can learn more about the summit? Where can people find you online?
Yeah, we have a web page. So if you go to the International Storytelling Center general page, you can find it through that. And we also have a Facebook and an Instagram that updates with more information. So our web page is the best source because we have our workshop descriptions, the registration form is there. We have some information about our COVID safety plan, and all of that's there. So that would be the best place to find information.
And are there still registrations are still open? Things haven't been filled up at this point?
No, registration is still open. Yep.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both again so much for speaking with me. I hope the Story Summit goes well, and I hope that people learn more about it today. And I hope that you get calls after this interview airs and you get filled up and it's an amazing event. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Pretty fair maid was in her garden when a stranger came riding by. He came up to the gate and called her, said, "Pretty fair maid, would you be my bride?" She said, "I have a true love who's in the army, and he's been gone for 7 long years. And if he's gone for 7 years longer, I'll still be waiting for him here. Perhaps he's on some water cause drowning. Perhaps he's on some battlefield slain. Perhaps he's to a fair girl married, and you may never see him again. Well, if he's drowned, I hope he's happy, But if he's on some battlefield slain, and if he's true, some fair girl married, I'll love the girl that married him. Took his hand out of his pocket, and on his finger he wore a golden ring. And when she saw that band shining, a brand new song her heart did sing. And then he threw his arms all around her, kisses gave her 1, 2, 3. Said, I'm your true loving soldier, just come back home to marry thee. In her garden, when a stranger came riding by, he came up to the gate and called her, said, pretty fair maid, would you be my bride?
Sometimes I go walking through the fields where we walked long ago in the sweet used to be. And the flowers still grow, but they don't smell as sweet as they did when you picked them for me. And when I think of you and the love we once knew, how I wish I could go back in time. Do you ever think back on old memories like that? Oh, do I ever cross your mind? Do you ever wake up lonely in the middle of the night because you miss me? Do you, darling? Or do your memories ever take you back to another place and time? Do you ever miss the feelings of the love that we shared when you were with me? Tell me, darling, or do I ever cross your mind? That again I could kiss your sweet lips like I did long ago. And how often I long for those two loving arms that once held me so tender and close. And when I think of you and the love we once knew, how I wish I could go back in time. Do you ever recall those old memories at all? Oh, do I ever cross your mind? Do you ever wake up lonely in the middle of the night because you miss me? Tell me, darling. Oh, do your memories ever take you back to another place in time? Never miss the feelings or the love that we shared when you were with me. Do you, darling? Or do I ever cross your mind? Tell me, darling, do I ever cross your mind?
Pretty Fair Maid in the Garden there from Tim O'Brien, and Growing Pains there from Mike and the Moon Pies. All right, folks, thanks so much for tuning in. Remember, you can catch this program, Mountain Song and Story, every Thursday at 4 o'clock right here, each and every week on Radio Bristol. You can also check out past shows if you visit the Mountain Song and Story program page on over at listenradiobristol.org. As always, I'll have all the materials from today's show up there, so please go over there to learn more about the Young Appalachian Story Summit. Special thanks again to Stella Childress and Leanna Selina from the International Storytelling Center for taking the time to speak with me, and go learn more about all the wonderful things that they are doing. Thanks again for tuning in. My name is Toni Doman, and I'll catch you right here next week. Thank you. Mountain Song and Story takes you beyond the lyrics of our Appalachian sound and tells the tales and folklore of the people who make up the rich cultural tapestry of Central Appalachia, showcasing influential artisans and traditions through in-depth interviews, music, and storytelling. Mountain Song and Story aims to promote our arts and culture for a greater understanding of the region. Join me, your host, Tony Doman, on Thursdays at 4 for Mountain Song and Story, right here on Radio Bristol.